This is Gene Edwards, and this is July the 25th. The year is 2013. We have been moving through the book of Galatians. I would like to make this an introduction because we are introducing something new. We're making an approach to Galatians, the like of which nothing has ever been attempted, not even remotely. We're coming at this book, the first piece of Christian literature in all of Christian history, before the Gospels, before anything else. It was written in 50 AD. And when Paul wrote the opening words to that book, nothing ever written before of what we call the New Testament had ever existed. The very first thing to do is to, of course, to understand the book, where it came from, what provoked it, what caused it to come into existence. Why did Paul write it? Why did he write it the way it did? And to whom did he write it? And what events had taken previous to this that provoked the existence of this book? That may sound like something we have already done, but man has never really gone deeply into the very heart and soul of this book in a very human way, in a way in which these people come alive, Paul came alive, where these cities come alive, and the surroundings also come alive. This is unique. Now, we have come to a point when we have laid all of that beside us, that is, at this speaking, we are assuming that you have laid aside the time to drink deeply of the story of Galatians, that you have learned a great deal about it. Now, there is something else that is unique to what we're doing here. I told you my name is Gene Edwards. I am also a Christian outside the institutional church. Right now, at the very moment that I'm speaking this, there are many people who have no idea what I'm speaking of. I live in a country that never saw anyone burned to the stake, whipped and beat, thrown in the dungeons, tortured, cast out of society for being of any religious group. Therefore, for me to say that I'm a Christian outside the institutional church has little meaning in the country of my birth, which happens to be America. Nonetheless, I am outside of that which happens on Sunday morning, the way we do our seminaries, the very core of the way we as evangelicals think and practice. One of these outstanding features is simply we think in plurals rather than individuals. Everything you have been exposed to, all of the teaching of Scripture and all the books you've ever read, your interpretation of anything that has to do with the New Testament, you do it as one speaking and thinking as an individual, and everything applies to you as an individual. None of this is true of what you're hearing now. This exploration of, this learning, discovering the story of the Galatians is a we, a they, an us. Churches, ecclesia, expressions, gatherings, an incredibly informal, quite organic, much spontaneity, a great deal of functioning, very little individual leadership, and those who raised up the Galatian church really most of the time nowhere to be found, and not some strong overlording elders that are essentially dictators. It's an organic expression. Now we have come to search things in Galatians with which we can touch our Lord, Spirit, Spirit. So we have six chapters, and we are looking for and looking into and seeking to discover, discovering portions in each one of those six chapters that have to do with things eternal. If we say that some visitors had come to Galatia, that is an event in space and time. When we say, I have been crucified with Christ, that is in fact not true. Not on this earth, not in the dimensional imprisonment that we have day after day, time, space, right here, right now, in this age. That statement is not confined to the earth. I've been crucified with Christ. I have not. That happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. I was not there. Nevertheless, I live. That's not true. I was not put to death, and I do not live. All these are things that are of eternal nature. And we're looking at them. So far, we have been in chapter 1, and I have selected of myself 4 verses, 1 through 5, with some little or no emphasis on verse 2, which is to do with brothers. Things eternal. I began by saying, and will repeat now, do you understand receive the total impact? Paul, an apostle, that's two things no one knew. They didn't know Paul, and they did not know that he was an apostle, whatever that was. Speaking of God the Father had never been written down on any piece of parchment paper or animal skin ever before. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord, who is Christ, who is Jesus, and God the Father, there is a word that would be meaningless to heathen and blasphemy to the Hebrew people. And yet there it is. When you walk into Galatians chapter 1, come reverently. Come in awe. Don't pass it over as things that you've heard before. Stop and let your spirit acknowledge that nothing like this has ever been said before. These are words men have never read. I have picked these opening words because so much of them is eternal. There are eternal things in these five sentences. More so, in my judgment, and you're so free to have your own, all that is in Galatians 1. Unless you turn to allegory or flights of fancy, the most eternal, spiritual, free of space and time portions of that chapter are found primarily, if not exclusively, in the first five verses. Now, dear brothers and sisters, in written form, you have been taken through four stages of spending time with those five verses. You have done this as an individual. I trust after some practice, you will be able to do this with someone else with you. And I ask you in the name of high heaven, you do not come there to study. Study is not going to help you one bit in touching the Lord Jesus Christ. Your spirit, which is also been touched by the eternals and is of the eternals and belongs not to this realm but to the other realm, are there for you. I ask you to not lead with your brain, your mind, or trying to dig up truths. Do not look for things to teach. Let the sharing that falls from your mouth be sharing that has come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as Paul so aptly said it, one has a revelation. We call it sharing. Now, the fourth one in these four ways of dealing with Galatians, the fourth one is taking the words in these four verses, having taken out anything that you can that's not of the eternals, and looking just at those things which are of the eternals. And you've gone through three times that you've passed through Galatians. You come to the fourth, and you do something that Christians have never done. And you allow yourself to speak to Jesus Christ using those verses. Lord, your grace. Lord, your peace. Lord, your Father has given me grace and peace. Now, if you jump right into that with your frontal lobe working full time, quite frankly, I just can't help you. Go back to the seminary and have fun there. This is something you approach quietly, silently, and no, not reverently, and very, very slow. A man that is focused on the Lord. When you have gone through these verses and speak them to Christ, and if anything is added in your spirit, in your and your thoughts. I use that word thoughts, not as thinking. That which crosses your mind, your heart, your spirit. Then you come even quieter, very, very slowly. The Lord speaks to you. In this case, it's my name. And I am hearing He speak to me. I am grace. I am peace. My Father is grace and peace. So am I. It was my Father's will that I be lifted up for your sins, Gene. And the Lord is now speaking to me. Just as I have spoken to Him quietly and slowly, as much as I possibly can right now, with my spirit. And we come to this, we go all the way through Galatians chapter 1, which we have set aside for that which is of the eternals. And we end. Now, I don't know whether I have been alive when you hear this or if I've been dead 50 or 100 years. I will tell you this, it's not going to be out of date because the institutional church will be exactly where it is 200 years from now with some other distractions. Our discoveries, but it's never Christ, and it's never in the church, and I'm not speaking of someone sitting on a pew. But whether I am alive or dead, I am of this hope. That there will be for anyone who is in these revolutionary churches that will be coming together with a small group of fellow believers and spending a week to learn, to touch, and know how to experience Christ outside of space and time. So that you can at this moment put this to use in your life and in the life of someone else, and that will be found and expressed in the gatherings as you move through Galatians and then forward, ever forward, forward, ever forward. Not out of order, but as the ways that the first century knew by its experience as she, the church, moved forward. Not with verses to prove points. And may God deliver us from teaching this. But we come to the fifth step. At this moment, there have been several places we have held these retreats, and I really doubt you can make it less than 6 days. It takes 3 or 4 days just to get the mind unwound. And we come to the fifth, something I trust you will have touched on before you have come this far. We come to the next place. And this time we're going to come and step out of space and time. In fact, we're going to cease to exist. Your thinking ends, so does mine. And we put on the mind of Christ, using nothing but the scripture and what wells up within you under the unction or moving of the Holy Spirit. Give him time. Now, I would say it again, I'd say it emphatically. You're not present and you are not participating and you're not someone who's thinking about all this. You get as quiet, with as withdrawn into your spirit as you possibly can. Quietly, with a heart of love toward your Lord and Savior and nothing else. A few minutes ago, I did this alone in this room. I've come away from that. Oh, Lord, please. Allow there to be a people who can do this. This is something that takes place only in the heavens. It only takes place when you are in God, lost in God, and you are of Him. Or to put it another way, it's the fellowship of the Godhead. It is fellowship. Fellowship within the of the Godhead. I have asked you to go through these other stages so that by now you will be fairly familiar with what has been written. But now you shed time, you shed space, and you shed you. And there are two people in the entire creation. No, there is no creation. There is the Father, and there's the Son. And they are speaking to one another. And you have been doing some writing so that by now, In the very first sentences, you know that there is God the Father, and you know that there is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that Christ has been raised from the dead. By the way, this will mark, I believe, the very first time I have ever allowed this to be recorded. And Lord, save us from preachers who are looking for something to preach. Save us from men who are trying to dig up sacred secrets, looking for sermons to impress people, or to attempt to look spiritual. What we're touching here came off the anvil of 40 years of spending time before the Lord, before any of this began to be practiced in the church. And then shared in the meetings by God's simple people. The church is revolutionary. She was raised up to be organic. She is raised up to spontaneity. She is raised up to function and in fact cannot survive without the functioning that in which the members of the body of Christ, that is God's people, brothers and sisters, nourish and feed one another. And it comes out of the heart and soul of spending time with the Lord. Listen to these words. Spending time with the Lord. Getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ by its very nature. That adventure calls for you to spend time in his presence. It's that simple. You have come now to this fourth, and this is hollow ground. Never let it be anything but hollow ground. This has been sacred territory to us. This has been an experience not only unique to us, but to the Church of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And may no man ever merchandise it. This is beyond holy ground. It takes time. There are only two voices. The Father speaking to the Son. The Son speaking to the Father. And this is outside of creation, out of space and time. Therefore, we cannot say where it took place. Before creation, at creation, right now, as man counts time in the heavens, in the future, maybe in the past, maybe just before the Lord Jesus Christ is incarnated in Mary's womb. Father, you are my Father. You've made me one with you. You and you alone raised me from the dead. I am your Father. I broke the bonds of death and made you alive. Brought you out of the chambers of death. You were alone. Now there are brothers. I hope that you can so withdraw yourself and quiet yourself, and that you are part of a body of believers that spend time with Christ. And two Christians, by faith alone, and everything we do is by faith. And take verse 3. And take upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak in his name. Father, I am grace. I am grace upon grace. My son, you are grace, and I have given you away. You've come to earth, and you have given grace upon grace upon grace. You are my free gift. Father, I am peace. I am your peace. peace there is. My son, you are the only peace there is. I am utterly grace. 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 You took that which is you. I sent you to another realm to be grace and to give grace and to give peace and give peace. For it has all come from one place and that place alone. You, Father, I have given the grace, but I have given it through you and through you alone. Now, Father, it was your will that I be lifted up. My son, you accepted my will. You took it. You took it out of the heavens and placed my will upon the earth. And Father, I was lifted up for sins. For the individual, I was lifted up for the sins of all men. My son, you have delivered those who believe upon you, delivered them out of the world. And then you destroyed that world. Father, they are delivered. My son, they are delivered. Father, they've been taken out of bondage and prison and set free. Father, they're yours. For it was your will that they be taken out of this dark age. Lord, their Father, they are free. Father, they are free. Free from the age, free from the evil that's in it. Son, that is because you were lifted up. That's why they are free. Father, let all glory redound to you. All praise redound to you. That you be praised. That you be praised for. And praised forever. And praised forever and forever. Without end. And Father, I praise you. Praise you for being your son. I praise you, Father. For sending me, I praise you, Father. The grace that is you, that the grace that is me, and for the grace that has come to men, and they will praise you forever and ever, Father. I trust that you have learned before any of this was done some helps, such as being quiet and waiting, and let the breath of heaven breathe with you, and that your spirit step outside of space and time. This is chapter one. We'll continue on our way until we reach to the end of chapter six. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you.